just tuning in, catching the tail end of the morning show, and you got me, Mike, in the morning, King K, holding it down as well.
Oh, yes. 100%. It's the morning show, proudly brought to you by Bitvis McCarthy Toyota Bolito.
Can't forget that.
Uh-huh.
Driving us into the weekend, and right now, driving us into a really interesting interview, and we are joined in the studio right now by a gentleman donning the characteristic attire of a Buddhist monk,
uh-huh.
And very fitting because we're about to dive into a conversation discussing the Kadampa Meditation Center, Durban. And the monk in question, Gen Jampal, joins us for a chat on the Radio Life and Style microphone. And lovely to have you with us, Gen Jampal. How are you on this fantastic Friday?
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, very good.
Cool, man. We've been having a little bit of a chat off air and diving into some pretty deep philosophical stuff. Priming us for an interview. But before we get too deep, let's kind of start at the shallow end and maybe look at the very basic question. Before you talk about a meditation center, I suppose it would be good to figure out, what is meditation? Why is it becoming so valuable, and why is it? Mm. It seems to be having a sort of popular moment. A lot more people are interested in it. There's all kinds of meditation apps that are bouncing around at the moment. Mm. But maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I like a physical,
yes,
a physical experience.
That's
a physical
it.
Space where you can connect with other people.
Yeah.
And maybe the Kadampa Meditation Center Durban is that. But what is your take on why meditation is becoming so valuable in modern life?
Right, yeah. Mike, I think maybe a place to start is, I don't know, to come up for air a bit and have a look at modern life. You know, and, you know, with respect to that, because we're so busy, it's maybe helpful to connect with what's really important. Because we easily get, like, swept away with the things of our life, and then we get disconnected. And it's kind of simple. You know, what's beneath everything that we want, our deepest wish, is to be happy and to be free from problems, suffering, issues, etc.
Yeah.
Like, you can check everything that we do throughout the day and the night. Like, that means, like, even in our dreams, we're trying to get away from problems and suffering, and we're running towards things that we think are going to give us a good experience.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Mm. That tracks. That makes that makes sense.
And they're usually short-lived.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's an interesting thing, because, you know, if that's the deepest wish of everyone,
mm.
We're all giving a huge amount of energy to this project. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you could amass it somehow, the man and woman hours, if we can say.
Yeah,
you know,
if you can quantify how much energy is spent on trying to achieve that goal of escaping the concerns, the stress, the worry, and to find a place of peace and happiness.
Yeah. So what is interesting is you can look at the results of all this effort, because it's quite visible. So especially in the last while, you know, you look at how our knowledge of, I don't know, let's say modern technology has increased in like an exponential fashion.
Mm.
Our understanding of the external world, the progress that we've made, is just off the charts, really.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's the first point. And yet there has not been a corresponding increase in human happiness.
Mm. Mm.
That's really interesting. Eh? If you have to try and...
Well, we're in the deep end now.
you think the idea that over time, you know, there's progress, however you measure progress, but there seems to be a flat line when it comes to progress in terms of global happiness. And what's definitely happened is things have gotten busier, more distracted, more fragmented, right?
Yeah.
And these things that we have in our pockets, these screens that are ruling our lives to such a large extent, and we sort of mediate our experience with the world and connection to others. They're supposed to keep us more connected than ever, but in many ways we're sort of more isolated and divided. So my question then would be, you know, can we use meditation to control our distractions while living in this digital age? Because we're so plugged into it, so wired to it, you know, it would be maybe naive to say you could completely detach from it when you've got a business and a family and everything that sort of makes up a modern existence. Can we use meditation as a medium to control our distractions?
So the simple answer is yes. But one thing to add before we dive into that one is, you know, if we look at how happiness is not increasing with all the effort we're putting in, and in fact, probably we could say that today there are more problems and suffering than there's ever been. And so it's a bit of a, I think it's a safe thing to say, like if we look around, experiences of unhappiness and suffering are increasing around us. Okay, so a little bit of mind science, and this is another helpful bullet point which will draw us into this question, is that happiness and suffering are states of mind. Okay, so we think, like, we look at conditions, people, etc., like the person who gives us a hard time, and we would say that person's, the way they're behaving is making me suffer. But in truth, it's the way our mind is responding to them behaving that way that's making us suffer. Because suffering, happiness, they're parts of mind. What causes them is within the mind itself. And there's some very good news with this, because we're all exhausting ourselves trying to control things, external things that we can't control. Like people. Yeah. It's a funny thing, you know, like somebody says they want to try and control us and we're like, ooh. And yet that's what we're doing, you know, we're like trying to control everyone in our life.
Yeah.
it's you know. It's true. But, you know, since we are in this age, which is so connected and so technological, and there are now so many different ways that you can measure things and track things, and we're in this age of sort of being able to quantify stuff, and there's been a lot of studies done on the physiological health benefits of incorporating meditation into your daily practice, your daily routine, and there seems to be a huge amount of evidence to support what has been known for thousands of years, but now science can put its rubber stamp on it to say that if you can, even just for a sliver of, you know, 10, 20 minutes on a regular basis, start your day with a meditation practice, what that's going to do to your physiology, to your blood pressure, to your productivity, to your general stress levels, and how that's going to ripple through everything. It's been now, medical journals have said it's a thing. There's real evidence to support it, and a whole host of top performing leaders of industry and sports people have this as a foundational part of their day to day. You know, got to make time, carve out a couple of minutes to start or at the end of the day or both. Can you give any advice or tips to someone who wants to learn how to start meditating and to start seeing for themselves if it's going to deliver benefits?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the first thing that I would say is, because there are a lot of apps around today, excuse me, which I think from one point of view, it's wonderful because more and more people are trying meditation. But if you want to really make progress, you need to find a teacher or a class. Excuse me. And it's in that environment that you can really start to make progress on developing the skill of meditation.
And because that is a skill.
It's a skill, yeah. And that, you know, it brings us back to, like, each of these points that we've mentioned, you know, like finding happiness and suffering, or controlling that, because they're parts of mind. You know, the question comes, how do we learn about our mind? How do we control our mind? How do we train our mind so that we can be responding with states of mind that induce peace, and from that, authentic happiness is coming? And the answer is, it's got a name. It's called meditation. And, you know, with respect to your comment about the digital age, you know, just in a simple breathing meditation. So you're learning to watch your breath. You know, it amounts to literally that. It's not so easy when you try. But that process, just as a little, I don't know, an insight inside meditation, that meditation gets made up of focusing on your breath, being distracted, okay? So distraction comes. You're learning to recognize it, let go of it, come back to your breath. And you do that a number of times within that meditation, okay? So you're training in a mental skill of stopping thinking what you don't want to be thinking about, which is anything other than your breath, and bringing your mind back to what you do want to be thinking about, which is your breath in this instance. But it's like a life skill for outside of meditation.
I was literally thinking the exact same thing. I mean, in our industry, Mike, how useful is that a tool? I mean, in any industry, in fact, you know, anywhere where you need to communicate, where you need to present, where you need to just bring yourself to a portion of yourself that is one within that moment. We so often get distracted, even in conversation. We so often get distracted even at work. When working on one specific project, you find yourself distracted and you now start attributing it to ADHD or something else of the sort. But at the end of the day, it's just like any other skill. Could be practiced, could be taught, and could be learned.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, if you're just catching the tail end of the chat right here, we're in conversation with, again, Jampel from the Kadampa Meditation Center, Durban. And meditation might make up a part of your daily routine already, but what about all the time in between that moment in the morning and maybe a moment in the evening when life is happening and then things maybe aren't going to plan? How do we manage that in the moment, again, Jampel?
So it's a good question here. You can imagine, like, you do your meditation and you have a good one. And everything's peaceful, and you're loving life, and you walk straight out into the first disaster.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So, and you know, this is why I mentioned earlier. You know, you want to learn to meditate. It's helpful to find a teacher, to find a class, because we need to learn these skills of threading this experience between the meditations, and you know, in Buddhism, we call it the meditation break, which is the gap between meditations, which is actually much longer than the meditation itself. So, for example, if your meditation in the morning was on patient acceptance, okay, gaining some familiarity internally with this response, it induces peace itself and kind of growing wisdom. But as you get up from meditation and you're going out into your day, you need to have a determination to practice patient acceptance.
Carry that into the day.
Exactly. Mm. And maybe looking forwards and thinking, okay, I've got these difficult things coming up, because we know the things that might be difficult. And we think, that person who pushes my buttons, that's my training ground today.
Okay.
Wow. You know, and then if we're doing that, then the time in between is supported by the meditation, the previous one, and the time in between is supporting the next meditation. And so it kind of starts to work like a cycle. And then gradually we're changing into the person we want to be.
Wow. So if you're hearing this stuff, and if it's intriguing you, if it's resonating, and if you are looking to go deeper into this world and to find a supportive community and a teacher, the Kadampa Meditation Center in Durban offers just that. Again, Jampel, where is the center based, and how can curious listeners get in touch and find out more?
Okay, yeah. So so our center is in Westville, as you said, and our website is Meditate in Durban. If you Google that, we'll be there. And then, you know, from there you can find other methods of connecting through WhatsApp, social media, etc. And something to add is that we now do a class here in Bolito.
Is that a fact?
Well, I don't know if I've made a horrible faux pas. It's in Salt Rock.
Okay, well, we'll allow it.
Okay. It's
in the greater Bolito area.
Yeah.
Meditation in Salt Rock.
Yeah. So, yeah, Salt Rock Library is on a Thursday evening.
Salt Rock Library is on a Thursday evening. So if you missed it for this week, next Thursday, do you have a time, more or less?
Yeah, it's 6 to 7.
6 to 7, and that could be
a
fantastic introduction and a great place to start. If this is a new journey that you're setting out on, if you'd like to try and see if it's going to fit into your day-to-day, I'm sure it will, you're invited. No cover charge. Salt Rock Library next Thursday, 6 to 7. And will you be there?
I will, yeah. I'm teaching that class.
Fantastic. Nice. So the man you're hearing right now, the monk on the radio, again, Jampal from the Kadampa Meditation Center, Durban. And thanks for giving us a little bit of a look behind the scenes or into the world of meditation. It's certainly been enlightening for me this morning. And I hope we can pick up again and dive a little bit deeper. What do you say?
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You heard it on Radio Life and Style. Almost getting to that 9 o'clock mark. Keep it locked.